Yeah.
Hello, I am Coco.
What's good? I'm Eric, and we are the hosts of the show
Get Wrecked
on Starburns Audio,
the game show podcast where we ask Team Coco and Team Eric questions like, what is the disgusting ratio of cows to humans in Montana?
Or even, who is the Glee character slash actor that strikes fear in the hearts of Gen Z?
Every week, we hurt our own feelings and embarrass our contestants to answer life's most savage questions.
We make our lives worse so yours can get better.
Decide what team you're on by subscribing on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Boogie Monster with Kyle Kinane and Dave Stone.
Contact the best authorities. Check on anything that seems to be extraordinary, no matter what it is.
When you see something that's frightening, it looms large in the consciousness.
It is the middle ground between light and shadow, between science and superstition.
The Boogie Monster, podcasting the unknown.
Just tried to eat a bag of the Albanese, the good gummy bears.
Oh yeah, the good stuff.
Yeah, they had melted in the car. Oh, they're old as shit. I think I had them from last year, but I was like, oh, I'm gonna eat this. I was rearranging shit, trying to get the van back in shape for some trips.
Uh-huh.
I'm like, oh, I'm gonna try and eat this bag of this melted bag of gummy bears. You know, because my waist not want not propensity. Mm-hmm. So, it's disgusting. Not the
good.
Not the flavors, just the effort.
Yeah,
it's the closest.
Like chewing on a dog toy.
It's the closest I'll get to like. It felt carnivorous. Just trying to like just peeling the bag open and just shoving my face in there and just taking like having to use my neck to pull bits out. Like a hyena eating a zebra corpse.
Yeah.
And then I didn't finish it, so I put it in an old Mission tortilla bag in the fridge. You ever do stuff where you're like, if my significant other wanted to dump me, this is a good reason. Like, not the only reason, but it would be like a thing to point out.
Yeah. Like, Katie you just walked to on me.
Really?
She walked in on me one time peeing in a cup,
what?
In a plastic cup. Because I had to go real bad, and we only had one bathroom, and she was in there.
Oh, okay.
And then she came out, and I was in the kitchen just peeing in a solo cup. And she was like, ugh. It's like, what? And now, keep in mind, I'd only been out of the van a few months, so I was still institutionalized, you know?
They were a shelter cat.
Uh-huh. Adapting to the indoor life.
Yeah, there's a lot of moments of like, oof, you're still here, huh? All right, I got to make note of that. I should make note of that. Yeah, she got by you peeing in a cup. In a bathroom situation, though, not to stereotype or anything, but a gal might take a little longer in there. Just doing whatever they're doing.
Yeah, Lisa was the number one. Sucks. In the cup.
Yeah, you weren't trying to duke out.
Yeah, you're
trying to do one Dave,
shit on
one
paper
Dave,
plate.
One cup. What kind of party you're trying to have?
Oh man.
Well, yeah. So you know, a little gratitude towards a significant other when you realize that, oof. Yeah, this is not an attractive thing I'm doing here.
So, did Rachel catch you putting the gummies in the Mission tortilla bag? And
no, now it's just sitting in the fridge, that? So I'm kind of anticipating
Oh, okay.
A reaction. She'd get it, though. She knows. She knows how I am towards these things.
Yeah, this is not new behavior.
Yeah, they're the good gummy bears, too. If it was some Haribo or something, yeah, fuck them. Mm-hmm. But these are the Albanese.
Yeah, those are the best mainstream gummies I've had.
Right? Yeah. So yes, I'm going to hang on to those.
I had a whole pack of vitamin gummies melt on me one time, and I ate the whole thing.
Just take a gnaws off of it?
Mm-hmm. Man, I could run really fast that day.
I was the strongest I ever was. I was the strongest boy in the world.
Oh, boy. Everything good? How's the weather up there in Portland?
Sun's out. It's a little chillier. It's been around the 40s, mid-40s, 40 or 50 maybe. Not bad. I've acclimated, Dave.
Uh-huh.
Got used to just being cold and wet.
Yeah.
And going out and being, like, I'm getting it now. I'm feeling it. There's more activities to do.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm feeling all right. Getting some details of life in order. Getting ready to go on the road. Getting ready to tape a special. Now it looks like it's going to happen in Salt Lake City.
Okay.
Yeah, it was some mishmash with what was happening in Oregon. Shows are still happening here in Portland. I'm just not going to tape at them.
Okay.
And it's a busy couple months. Let's put it that way. That I'm trying to.
Yeah, man.
I was never good at organizing in the first place. And then you come out of pandemic. They're lifting the mask mandate here, I think, on the 12th. Isn't it gone down in L.A., right?
Yes, it is. It's really weird. You don't have to put on a mask to go into a store or a restaurant.
Yeah.
Very, very bizarre. What's it been about, almost 2 years to the day, it seems. You know, when did COVID really hit us?
It was 2 years ago. It was 2 years.
Yeah, it was March, wasn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, that's the first time in about 2 years. I've been farting around this weekend, going to stores and picking up stuff and running errands, and it's just really bizarre not seeing when the employees aren't wearing it. That's when you're like, oh, shit. Okay,
yeah.
Cool.
Well, it is like early on, I understood it, you know. Mm-hmm. But after a while, like, well, restaurants are open and you can go and sit down and eat with your mask off.
Yeah.
And then put it on to go to the bathroom. It's like, well, this is feeling a bit theatric. But also, it's just not so like the people freaking out about it. It just wasn't so encroaching on my life that it was like, it's not like you were asking me to put a fucking fish tank on my head.
Yeah.
That's what I didn't understand. Like, this is like, it's not a thing. It was like
absolutely.
Such a non-issue.
I never understood the big deal about it.
Yeah, the alpha bros. Yeah, alpha bros. Mm-hmm. Like, I see a guy in his car by himself wearing a mask. What the fuck's wrong with you? Maybe because he just forgot he had it on because he was running errands, and it's such a non-issue to have a thing on like that you don't even think about it. Maybe that's it. So, I mean, traveling around, you see which places, states, and regions are like, we don't care anyway. Like, all right, well, airplanes, sure. No problem wearing on a plane.
Yeah.
Whatever.
I prefer to wear it on the plane.
Yeah. Yes.
I don't trust that air.
Well, all right. So I had to go. I made my big United stink a few years ago. Mm-hmm. But now every airline has just sunk to a level of trash quality that it doesn't matter. Yeah. Now it's not like they got better. It's that everybody else just got just as bad, just as expensive. Fly, you know. So I'm like, all right, fuck it. I fly United now. But like, man, the whole thing about like we're sanitizing these planes, and then there's just not even like a gum wrapper at the bottom of the little pocket, like drinks and shit. Mm-hmm. Like I felt like I was walking into a movie theater with how filthy the fucking planes were. Like whole bottles of drinks and food wrappers and shit. Like obvious sticking out of the thing. Like you didn't clean shit in here.
Yeah.
So that was, I'm like, what am I going to do? Tweet about it? Nobody needs to hear a comedian tweet about airlines anymore.
Yeah. What was your initial beef with United? What did they refresh our memory? They
kept delaying a flight to go to. I was trying to get to Eureka, where we'll be May 5th and 6th. No, May 6th and 7th. Savage Henry. Mm-hmm. And they just kept delaying it, to the point where if it left when they said it was going to leave, I wasn't going to make it anyway. So I went home trying to figure out if there's other ways. Like, let me go home and start rescheduling this and start talking to people. And then as I'm like leaving, they're like, oh, the flight's on time and it's boarding in 10 minutes.
Jeez.
After delay, like saying it was going to be delayed for like 5 or 6 hours.
Mm-hmm.
It's every airline does that shit. If you start seeing your flight being delayed by 20 minutes each time, they don't know what's going on. They have no idea if that flight's leaving, and they're just going to string you along in 20-minute or 30-minute intervals to make it appear like, oh, it might go. And I did. I sat at the airport for those intervals until, like, oh, I'm not going to get there in time anyway.
Yeah.
I'm like, I need to go figure out what plan B is. But it was just airlines are a dog shit business. We've gone over that. And it's, you don't have a choice. Sometimes you don't have a choice. I've tried to understand that. Like, I got to fly every weekend now, or almost every weekend. Get ready for it. Let's not act surprised when shit goes wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But it was a little bit like, oh, everything's sanitized for your safety during a pandemic. And there's just like movie theater amounts of trash. And both leaving and coming back this past weekend.
Jeez.
Both times. There was like garbage. Like, God damn, you guys. You're not even trying to keep up with the illusion that you're cleaning these planes.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, it is what it is, man. I don't know what to tell you about it. Kind of old hat.
What can you do?
Old hat. Yep. Comedians bitching about the commute. But yeah, I was out. I did Des Moines. Went to the Des Moines Funny Bone. Had a fun time. Worked with Zach Peterson and Donnie Townsend, two very funny fellas.
Right on. I know Zach.
Man, almost. I told a kid. I got to tell a child to fuck off. I told it right to his face.
Okay. Details. This is good. I like this kind of story.
I was at a hotel that there was like youth sports happening. Like a lot of the whole hotel was like just kids and parents. And all right, kids are going to be kids. But when
about
I first get
old?
There, I've all like late grade school.
Okay.
Maybe. Children.
Mm-hmm. Children, not
but
teams.
Big, but they're big because they're athletes, but they're mm-hmm. children because they're mentally, they're soft. Mm-hmm. But the parents, not much better. I'm sitting there like somebody pointed out what it is like. Okay, so I'm in Des Moines. There's probably a lot of people that never lived in apartments.
Mm-hmm.
So didn't know that you don't get to just hang out in the hallway and have your conversation.
Yeah.
Because people might be, no matter what time of the day, people might be sleeping behind all these doors in this hallway. So that was the first night of them just out there, and I had to like open my door with no shirt on and put my, I do real passive aggressive shit. I realized that after the fact, but like open my door, no shirt on, and just hang up my do not disturb tag on the door. Like, hey guys, check this out.
Yeah.
But then the kids were just running up and down the hallway all weekend, up and down the hallway. You know, you're a comedian, you work nights. I want to sleep in. Mm-hmm. No sleeping in. And finally, one kid comes and he's just banging on my door. I got do not disturb sign out there, banging on my door, just banging on it. And they go, Dad, like screw, Dad. And I just opened the door. I just went, fuck off. I'm not your dad. And God, those words just feel good to be able to say in any context.
You're not special to me, kid.
Kid was as tall as I was, though.
Uh-huh.
So it wasn't even like a tiny. It was like your body's trying to be an adult. Your brain's fucked, but your body is trying to be an adult. So I just went, fuck off. I'm not your dad. This isn't your room.
What was his reaction?
Just slam the door in his face. That's all I did. I just
and
like what
dad
I
didn't
would
come.
I would get no. This kid's been running around the hotel like a maniac the whole time. At one point in the lobby, as we're going to the show, I'm like, I'm coming back at 3 a.m. tonight, and I'm knocking on everybody's door. I did. I stomped. I was wearing boots, and I just stomped down the hallway at 2 a.m. after we got home. I was just like, I'm home. Clomp, 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 clomp down the hallway. Yeah, childish, sure, but fucking deal with it. Every parent who'd let their kids run wild in a hotel. I wouldn't have been able to do that.
No. Not at all.
I'm not going to say like I got my ass kicked. It just wouldn't be allowed. I would have gotten yelled at, and I would have listened to my parents.
Yeah. Not at all. No. There's no way I could have got away with that shit.
But they were saying it's just they're like all the feral children from the farmlands around there probably going nuts because there's like an indoor swimming pool and stuff.
Oh, but, you think there's a possibility they weren't even a guest?
No. I'm sure they were, but it was like a sports conference, but then the kids have an indoor pool. And I could have been more lenient, but it was one of those like flights were delayed to get to the show, and then I got maybe an hour to try and take a nap after a 12-hour travel day, and I can't do that because it was just obnoxious, yeah. And it's just, I feel bad, dude. Because, you know, like, that's when you get to the grumpy old man status, when you're like, yeah, kids should play and have fun. Like, when life is gonna squash you soon.
Yeah, kids should play and have fun.
Debt will shadow your every move.
Yeah.
Divorce? Probably.
Oh.
So, fuck, man. Go splash around in a Hambone Inn pool for a couple days.
What are your dreams, Colby?
Yeah, but that's where I'd be like, oh, my dreams came true and I'm here to tell jokes. Maybe I could lighten up on these kids. But then I was like, no, fuck that. What's wrong with your parents? It was the first one was the parents. The second time I just opened the door like, you need to stop playing in the hallway. I just told some kids that we're just having a track meet up and down the third floor of this Hampton Inn. And then the other kid was one banging on my door like, you fucking moron. Do you know numbers? It's not even a whole word. It's just three numbers in a row.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Dad.
Grumpy old man, Kyle. But then I did the Renwick Mansion. That was pretty cool, man. It was an old mansion in Davenport, Iowa.
Mm-hmm.
Felt very much like what the future holds of like a bunch of drunk locals taking over what the rich people have abandoned to move to safer places.
Hmm.
Yeah. Money.
Did it appear haunted at all?
Nah, that's one of those things. Like, I was there by myself. And it was old. But I got drunk too, so. I got drunk. Everybody was up till like 4 in the morning. You're not going to see a ghost if you're drinking till 4 in the morning.
Eh.
I mean, if you can't even see your own reflection in the mirror, well, you can see an apparition. But that was my whole deal. And then Friday I went to see a band called Glitter Wizard.
Okay.
I took Rachel to go see a band called Glitter Wizard. And his opening band was called R.I.P., and the singer, his mic stand was a scythe. And the bands, it was like professional wrestling. And so the opening band kept making fun of the headlining band. Like calling weak, saying everybody's going to leave once they come on. Because it was great. And then the headlining band. Yeah, the headlining band. Their merch guy was called Mercho Man. And he dressed like Macho Man Randy Savage and was running around. Dude, it was a good night out. And we saw a high school production of Xanadu on Thursday. We did some. We supported the arts. We supported the arts this week.
Look at you.
Yeah.
How'd you find out about that show?
That was Rachel's nephew was in Xanadu. You're going to do roller skating in a high school production with a live band? It was great. I love theater, Dave. I don't see enough of it.
People say that a lot about you. They're like, I heard he loves theater.
I don't.
Like, you have no idea.
I don't think to go to it. I don't know about it. But then I go and I'm like, it's just seeing the teamwork. It's seeing how many moving parts.
I love it for about
parts.
12 minutes.
Yeah.
10, 15 minutes, I'm good. I get it. I appreciate it. I don't need to see any more.
Well.
It just bores me. Why does it bore me?
I don't know. It's not your thing,
dumb?
You know?
Am I too dumb to appreciate it?
I don't think that's it. I don't think you have to be smart to appreciate someone singing and dancing a story.
I just wish once during a musical, like, the characters would acknowledge, not the actors, but the characters. Like, when they just break into, like, these choreographed numbers, it would be great if afterwards the characters are like, holy shit, how did we all know to do that at the same time?
Yeah, well, then you're asking professional wrestlers to do the same thing.
Yeah, that's true.
You've already bought into the idea that you're seeing a musical. That this is the device being used to convey the story.
What a funny universe, though, that these musicals exist in, where, like, at any moment, song and dance could break out with no notice.
I think there have been some. I think there have been some where there's, like, self-awareness or trying to hint at it. But I think even that joke has been done enough in theater.
Yeah, probably.
Like,
so.
Well, why would we know how to do that? I don't know. It's weird. It's like breaking the fourth wall. You can do it a little bit here and there,
yeah.
But after a while, you know, like the remake of 21 Jump Street, where like
I never saw that.
You never saw that?
Never saw the remake.
Very, very funny, Dave. It's a very funny movie. Okay. Yeah, because they keep making fun of like
Jonah Hill.
Jonah Hill and Magic Mike.
Yeah, who's the pretty guy there? What's his name? I always forget his name.
Channing Tatum. He's funny. He's a funny actor. And they keep making fun of like tropes in movies as they're doing them. So that'd be the same kind of thing.
Okay.
But you should watch that. It's a great movie. I mean, as far as comedies, it was a good time. But yeah, I think it's knowing just from doing stand-up, you realize how basic stand-up is compared to the other performing arts. And it's high school kids.
In terms of the actual performance.
Yeah, there's a band on stage. So the band's got to play their songs. Now you got kids who are not only just in this show, but they're in high school. They're already trying to do high school shit. Get ready for prom, study for finals, do all this. And they're learning choreography to sing a song and the lines of a play.
Okay.
In addition to their regular schoolwork. And they're on roller skates, some of them, for this. I admire the ambition. I certainly did not have that at all in high school.
No.
Do one extra thing that has to do with school? Get fucked.
Nope. Yeah. I mean, I did sports, but I didn't even... It didn't seem like it was putting me out any, you know, because I was just a dumb teenager who loved to run around and get dirty.
Well, some of them like to sing and dance.
Yeah, yeah.
It's nice seeing, and you know what? It's nice seeing little gay kids in high school.
Mm-hmm.
Because I couldn't imagine that when I was in high school.
Like, yeah, I was thinking about that the other day.
You're straight up gay. You're just straight up 15 and gay. Fucking awesome.
Good for you. Yeah. I don't think we had any openly gay kids in high school.
Oh, not openly.
Looking back, I'm sure we had. I mean, there might have been, you know, in other circles, you know, that maybe I didn't know them or anything, but I can't remember any. But like, oh, that's so-and-so. He's gay. I mean, people are like, yeah, that's so-and-so. He's gay. But like, you know, in a literal sense, like, oh, yeah, he's a gay fella.
Yeah.
But yeah, that does, you know, warm my heart to just see young folks just, this is who I am, deal with it. Yeah. All right, good for you.
I mean, who knows? It might still be shitty.
At an early age.
Yeah, I mean, the opportunity to be out still is, you know, inviting ridicule because teenagers are teenagers and they're dickheads. Yeah. I still fear them. I don't want to go to a mall by myself, see a group of teenagers. Fucking, I know they're making fun of me because when I was that age, I'd be making fun of me.
Yeah.
Look at that guy. He's 80 years old and he's wearing Vans. I'm not 80. I'm 45. You fucking dicks. Let me shop at Journeys in peace.
Same thing.
So yeah, projection, I guess it's projection or comeuppance. Maybe it's, you know, that what goes around comes around. Now the teens will mock me.
Yeah. Probably.
How are you, Dave? I've bitched enough here.
Man, that's okay, buddy. I'm good, dude. I'm relocated, settled into the new spot.
All settled.
Loving it, dude. Loving it. Got my own office / record room.
I like that.
It's not. We got the 2-bedroom. It's the first 2-bedroom I've lived in probably 20 years. First one I've lived in since I've lived in California. It's just been vans and 1-bedrooms. But, yeah, got the 2-bedroom. Katie commandeered our bedroom in terms of decor and all of that. And she's like, you go do whatever the hell you want in that other room. And I'm like,
well, yeah,
yes, ma'am.
She's giving you the whole one yourself.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, I don't care. I don't care what she does to the bedroom. As long as there's a place for me to sleep, I don't care. But,
that's great,
yeah,
man.
Got my own little, got the little record room in here. Been buying some new furniture. I bought a desk. It's exciting. It's not really a desk. It's just a table, but it serves as a desk.
I know how that works. You going to get a bong? Yeah.
A bong? Maybe I will get a bong.
I kept thinking, like maybe I'd start ripping bongs. And then I fucking can't. I can't smoke 2 hits of a joint without losing my fucking mind. I'm going to rip a bong. Boy.
Those bongs, that'll, I've ruined many a day just swinging by to say hey to Billy Wayne Davis.
Oh, shit's over. Shit's over.
Then he rips out the bong, and I'm like, where am I?
Yeah, your day's over. Sorry, man.
Yeah. Yep. Well, I've had to cancel plans more than once because of a bong. But yeah, man, all settled in, moved out last week. First time in my adult life we hired movers, and I've been a part of that. Usually I do it all myself, but we hired a couple of Russian dudes. There was a language barrier. They spoke no English. I spoke no Russian. A lot of hand gestures and just pointing. And even though we hired them, they charge, you know, as you can imagine, they charge by the hour. So I was like, well, I'm not just going to sit here and watch these guys lug my shit up and down the stairs. You know, at $140 an hour, I'm going to get in there and help them. And, man, it feels like we didn't even hire movers. Like, I'm so sore.
But you love it. You love a good crazy workout.
It was fun. It was, I needed it. That's the stuff I love about functional work. And this is the thing I do miss about like working landscaping and other like manual labor. But like when I'm on the treadmill, I can just stop whenever I want. And okay, I've had enough. But like when you're doing physical manual labor, you don't stop until the job is done.
Yeah.
You know? And that just, you just push your body. Just having no choice in how far you push yourself, you know, within reason. But like I said, I'm not just going to sit here and watch these guys do it for me. I'm going to help. But like, man, we just, and no breaks, just took about 2 hours to unload the one apartment and took about 3 to bring it into the new apartment. Cause, fortunately the old apartment was on the ground floor. The new one's on the second floor. So just up and down the stairs, up and down the stairs. And oh man. But also this was funny, real nice movers. I mean, like I said, we didn't communicate verbally
at
all.
I had Russians too, and they got in a fight with each other trying to go through that alley behind our old apartment.
These guys were kind of griping at each other. You could tell they're like getting on each other's nerves. But at one point, about halfway through the day, one of the guys, we were able to communicate enough to where he implied that he needed some water.
Mm-hmm.
And I gave him some water, but I also asked, like, you know, how long have y'all been working here? And I think they said, like, you know, 1.5, 2 years, something like that, I think is what I, but I just, I couldn't, my Russian wasn't good enough to.
Your Russian wasn't good enough?
Yeah, it wasn't good enough to ask, where's your fucking water? This is what you do for a living? Been working for a moving company for 2 years? You don't bring your own water?
Guys, understand y'all get thirsty, right?
Yeah. I don't know if that's like the Russian mentality of like, you know, we don't need
no water,
extravagant
vodka.
Things like water. But I just thought that was very bizarre. Again, it's not like we just pulled somebody off the street and asked them to move my furniture. It's like this is what you do. You work for a moving company. It never dawned on you to bring a jug of water to work.
Yeah, that seems a bit.
In Southern California. But yeah, so absolutely just destroyed my body this week. And then just even after we moved in, just all the small little loads that Katie and I, you know, we'd load up our own cars. And then there's, you know, we left a bunch of stuff behind or donated a lot and gave, you know, hired a junk guy to come take the rest of it. But anyway, point being, Katie wanted to start fresh with a lot of the furniture and stuff. So just all week, it's just been running to Home Depot and running to Target and hauling bags and stuff all the way. Oh, just, man, I burned more calories this week than I have in a year.
I got, where's that treadmill?
Treadmill is actually in storage for now. Even though we have more space,
can't have a treadmill on a second floor.
Yeah, exactly. That's the problem. She's like, I just don't know if, you know, that's going to be neighborly. And I'm like, yeah, that's a good point. So it kills me, but I put it in storage. So
yeah, you seem devastated. seem real heartbroken about it, Dave. Chaka, I mean, hey, we all got to make sacrifices, you know.
Oh man, I mean, clearly it's one of my passions, you know. But sometimes you got to set your passions aside for the greater good. All right, let's talk about Athletic Greens. You've heard me talk about them before. I started taking Athletic Greens about 2 months ago because the last 3 months have kind of been diet landmines for me. All right, you know, I was on the diet. I was doing real well leading up to the wedding in November. Soon as the wedding came, boom, it's time to party, right? We did the thing. I fit into the suit. I accomplished what I wanted to accomplish. Let's party. All right, so we had like honeymoon, right? Then I went on tour with Kyle in the South. Not good for my caloric intake. Then we had the holidays. All right, then we had some personal tragedy. You know, what's going to make you feel better? Eat some food you probably shouldn't eat. Right, then we got football. We got the college game, national title, my dogs. Then we got the NFL playoffs. Now the Super Bowl. It's just been one thing after another, standing in my way. That and just common sense and discipline, but preventing me from really trying to be strict with my diet like I was a few months ago. But Athletic Greens has really saved the day because it takes almost no effort. All right, I don't have to cook a bunch of healthy stuff. I don't have to wash a bunch of fruits and veggies and dirty up a blender and all that. It's a powder. It came with a little shaker. I put one pack of this powder into the shaker, put 8 to 12 ounces of water, shake it up for like 5-10 seconds. Like I said, no blender, no cooking, no blanching, no rinsing, just powder into a jar or a shaker. You know, something preferably with a lid. You shake it up, a little water, boom. I'm getting fantastic nutrition, and I'm not even trying. With one scoop of this delicious Athletic Greens, I'm absorbing 75 high-quality vitamins, minerals, whole food-sourced superfoods, probiotics, adaptogens, whatever you need to start your day right. Special blend of ingredients supports my gut health, my nervous system, my immune system, energy, recovery, focus, anti-aging, all that stuff. How about that? Right? It's pretty good. Plus, it's affordable. Costs less than $3 a day. You're investing in your health. It's cheaper than your cold brew habit. So why not get on it? It's good stuff. I'm serious. And it doesn't taste bad. I'm not going to tell you that it tastes like a chocolate milkshake. It does. But it doesn't have that, like, overpowering kale green chalky flavor that so many of these things do. It's kind of got a little tropical. I've said it before. It's like if Gatorade were healthy, you know, if Gatorade didn't have all the sugar and all the other garbage. It's got a little fruity, little sport drinky vibe. But like I said, it's just good stuff, man. It's good stuff. Right now, it's time to reclaim your health and arm your immune system with convenient daily nutrition, especially heading into flu and cold season. One scoop and a cup of water every day, that's it. Nothing to it. Make it easy. Athletic Greens is going to give you a free one-year supply of immune-supporting vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase. All you have to do is visit athleticgreens.com/boogie. Again, that's athleticgreens.com/boogie to take ownership over your health and pick up the ultimate daily nutritional insurance. athleticgreens.com/boogie. But man, we're loving the neighborhood. I'm literally a block off the Sunset Strip. Yeah, I can walk to all kinds of cool bars. Oh, we've already hit a few cool restaurants. I think I've already spotted two celebrities on my block. Now, okay. I'm not 100% sure, but the other day I was walking Charlie, and I'm pretty sure I crossed paths with old Benedict Cumberbatch.
Oh, okay.
I think he might live in my neighborhood. Really? If it wasn't him, this guy looked just like him. And also, I was looking at this one. I'm a little less. I was about 85% sure it was Benedict Cumberbatch, and I'm about 70% sure that Johnny Knoxville lives on my block. Because I think I saw him the other day.
I mean, but you are right there.
Story window. Yeah, we're right in the thick of it, man. It's crazy. This is the part of town that I used to avoid at all cost when I lived in L.A. You know, the first 8 years, just as you know, locals know that, you know, the east side is a little more desirable, you know, for people in our tax bracket, if you will.
Yeah.
Or at least my tax bracket back in the day there. I always felt intimidated to come over to Beverly Hills and West Hollywood and stuff. Just, you know, no one wants a van-dwelling idiot, you know, parking in front of their
I don't know if it would be tolerated.
Yeah, exactly.
A lot of parking but permit also just, situations and
Yeah, that was the other thing. Like that's why I didn't go to the clubs as often, because every fucking street over on this side of town is permit only after 7 p.m. I was just like, oh, shit, I'm going to get my van towed trying to go do a spot at the Improv.
Yeah.
But, we got our own parking space now, so that's exciting. Got the permits for the street parking, so we're all set up with that. But,
Buddy, you're going to be doing it, man. You're going to be out there. Yeah. You'll be tank top. I think you can probably some half tops down in West Hollywood there. get a free drink or two.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, yeah, I'm already I've already caught the attention of some locals. Katie, I have terrible gaydar, but Katie has very good gaydar. She's always apparently a couple guys were checking me out yesterday in the neighborhood. So,
man, yeah, take it where you can get it.
All that. Yeah, exactly. I'm flattered. Thanks, fellas. But yeah, so things are good. We're getting all settled in here. Neighbors threw us a pizza party.
Oh, really?
That was exciting. Yeah, we met all the neighbors. We live in a building that had. Yeah, it is cool. It's about 10 units in this building. And Wednesday, we met this real friendly fella named Chris, and he's a chef, and he just got a new wood-burning pizza oven. And they threw us a little welcoming party, got to meet all the neighbors. And that was very nice. And the only problem is I kind of opened with, all right, to set this part up, first thing I did before I even moved in, I joined the West Hollywood Crime Watchers Facebook page.
Yeah,
that way I could be up to date on all the criminals in the neighborhood.
Oh yeah, you gotta know.
This isn't funny. This is actually serious and horrible. But there's a sexual predator on the loose in West Hollywood right now. There's a story on the news, and it's all over Facebook. This guy, and there's video of this guy trying to abduct one lady in broad daylight.
Really?
Like, real creepy fucking video of him, like, walk. You could tell he, like, grabbed her by the back of the neck, and they're walking to get, like, and you could tell he's whispering in her ear, like, just act normal, just walk with
me.
But he's got, like, a strong grip on the back of her neck. And then they go out of frame, and apparently she elbowed him in the face or something and then broke free and ran off.
Good
you can
for
see.
Her.
They go out of frame, and then you see her running the other way. So, good for her. But anyway, so I'm like, well, fuck this guy. You know, I put this on my street justice to-do list, so I got to be on the lookout for this fuck-faced idiot. And but that was kind of my opening conversation with these new neighbors.
That you fight crime?
It was like, no, just
you're the opposite of every other superhero. You just tell people, by the way, at night I dress up like a bat or a spider. It doesn't matter. I put on a funny costume and I keep the streets safe.
But no, somebody was talking about crime or it's a safe neighborhood or something, and I immediately pull out my phone with a pair. I was like, well, look out for this guy, because I saw this on the Facebook Crime Watchers page this morning. And after about the second or third person I told about the sexual predator on the loose, I kind of was dampening the mood. So I was like, all right, I'll pump the brakes on
that. Yeah. Reading the room's part of the job. God, sexual predators. Yeah. All right, okay, calm down. Hold on.
Yeah, this is just not on my watch. So I got my work cut out for me.
That sounds like you got fun neighbors, though.
Yeah. No, yeah. The neighbor's great. Got my own parking space, so that's nice. Yeah. It feels, and I've talked about this before, but man, in Long Beach, we had no reserve space. It was all street parking. Other than the back. I told that story about the idiot who tried to have me towed for my own fucking spot.
You didn't make much of a stink because you were on the way out anyway.
Yeah, exactly. And anyway, so we had that kind of a shared space in the back, but it was so tight that nobody parked back there. So basically, we'd always park on the street. But parking was so scarce. It was so hard to park in Long Beach that it literally affected our social behavior. Like, we wouldn't go out after a certain – wouldn't leave the house after 6 p.m. because it's like there's no way we're going to find a fucking spot.
I've lived in those places, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, it sucks. So it's just so nice to have our own designated spot here and then –
I'm excited for you, man. I hope I get to see the place when I'm down there.
Yeah, man. Yeah, you have to come over next time.
I'll be parking a van in front of your place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes, I could return the favor. Oh, man, all those years of parking in front of my buddy's spots. That's pretty funny.
I'm excited for you, buddy. This is good news. Back in the scene.
Things are good, man. Things are good. Things are going so good in my personal life that I thought maybe I would go the other direction for our topic today.
Okay.
You've been keeping up with all this Russia-Ukraine bullshit? This is all broken since we last spoke because we took a week off.
Yeah, it was kind of bubbling. I was...
Scary shit.
It's, you know, you make that choice to like, do I want to be informed today and be depressed or do I want to just be like... Quality of life day. Gonna just enjoy myself and not read the news. I got, dude, it's been thrown back into that mix of, it's all doomed. Or,
man,
maybe it's not as bad. Maybe I gotta stop listening to the algorithm tell me it's doomed.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't make it any better for the people of Ukraine, but.
No. Yeah, it's just, I still don't understand the ins and outs of what's going on. Why does Putin want to? I mean, is it a land grab? Is he just? Is it territory? Hey, we want your land now, so we're gonna invade and take your country.
Yeah, it's like he thinks it's rightfully Russia, and it goes back. It goes back before I'm not sure. Yeah, you know what, man? I'm not qualified to speak on this.
Yeah. Neither am I, but. Nonetheless, it's still a scary situation. And then most recently, in the last, you know, few days, they've been tossed around nuclear war, nuclear attacks. And that's a phrase that, thanks to the Cold War, that we've heard pretty much all our lives. And but I never really knew what the hell, what is a nuclear war? What are nuclear weapons? Well, there's the science behind all that. Basically, it's just, I always equated it to just absolute devastation. That if a nuclear war breaks out, we're all fucked. And for the most part, we might be. But today, I wanted to talk a little bit on how to survive a nuclear attack. If the worst case scenario were to happen.
It's fine. I
didn't realize this. Did you know that only two nuclear weapons have been deployed during wartime purposefully? And
yeah, it was by us.
I knew about World War II and Hiroshima and Nagasaki. I didn't know those were the only two. So
yeah, we're the only monsters.
That's crazy. That with such a threat and it's been such a topic for the last 70 years or so that the only two deployed in wartime were by us.
Yeah. As far as I found some new podcast, I'm like, this one's all right. And then it's so bad. Like the guys, first it goes into like the vaccine and mask thing about like, they're just getting you to be paranoid right away. And then he's like shilling like Patriot food, like survival bunker food. Like, I don't know what's going to happen, guys. So even if you don't get this, use my discount code for Patriot packs or whatever, look into canned goods because you never know what's going to happen. Anyway, man, they're just getting you filled with paranoia over this pandemic. Like, fucking Christ.
Oh, man.
And I have both those things. I do have, it's camping food. It's camping food. Yeah, like a nuclear war, I'm still going to be eating like Backpacker's Delight veggie lasagna. It's all the same. It's all the it's all the packaging. It's either you're camping or you think that World War III is coming. It's the same shit inside the bag. One just has a flag and an eagle and fucking the word survival written on it. And the other one has like two hippies in Patagonia jackets getting ready to give each other dirty hand jobs in a marmot tent.
Oh, my God.
Same bullshit. Yeah, so I don't know, man. I don't know if it's going to be that. What if it's the knockout the internet? What if it's knockout power grids? What if it's all these other levels of attacks that can completely disrupt a society without resorting to using a nuclear weapon?
Yeah.
Because I thought that was the realization that like the nuclear weapons will just destroy everything. Or maybe it is like, well, here's one solution to climate change is just kill everybody. Change it all the way. Change the climate all the way.
Yeah. Yeah. Here's a little rundown on who has nuclear weapons. Russia has the most, roughly 6,200.
Mm-hmm.
The U.S. has roughly 5,500. And then it just drops way down. China has 350. France has about 300. The UK has 225. Pakistan and India both have around 160. Then Israel has about 90, and North Korea has 45. But it's crazy, the jump there.
Who has like one? Remember that was every movie was like somebody stole a nuclear weapon.
Yeah, yeah.
I want to know the country that just has one and is ready to fucking party.
Wasn't that the plot of Under Siege?
Was that what it was?
You see, trying to get a nuclear warhead.
Like Costa Rica's like, fuck it. Let's see what happens.
It just got one.
Yeah.
Oh, man. But yeah, that's a little scary to think that Russia has over 6,000 of those bastards. Mm-hmm. We've got almost 6,000. I always think about this. Like, I knew that we had a lot in America, but I didn't know where they were. But it seems like the majority of them are kind of in middle America, Montana, Nevada, Colorado, Wyoming, North Dakota, Missouri. Georgia has some at the Naval Submarine Base down near Savannah. I assume it's down that way. But I guess that's a strategic thing, right? To have them kind of in the middle. That way you could, I don't know. It feels like you should have some on the coast, though. You could reach your enemy a little closer.
I don't know. They're missiles. They just go up and over.
Yeah, but they can only go so far. Well, that's my other question.
That's they just go over. They go over the Arctic into Russia.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I should have looked this up, but
I wonder how changed far. The name of the whole show. I should have looked this up.
Now I get that. Okay, so do you think a nuclear weapon in Russia aimed at us could reach this far? Or would it have to be from a ship closer, you know, in the waters closer to us?
Oh, I thought they did a pretty good job making sure that shit was going to get to where it needed to go.
Oh, really? So, gee, that's crazy.
Yeah,
they can be deployed from many thousands of miles away.
I mean, I think I've talked about this. We used to go party at a place called Nike Park in Addison. Mm-hmm. It's called Nike Park, and there's like train tracks that would just go out there that would stop. That's because Nike is the name of the anti-nuke missile, a defensive missile.
Uh-huh.
So that's what it was. It was a Nike missile site. So it was an anti-nuke missile site. And I've talked about this before, but I think it's because like a mile away from where Route 83 and North Avenue, I had heard, my uncle said he had heard that that was where Ground Zero was if a nuke were to hit Chicago.
Right.
You know, we talk because the lake, like, oh, you want to get the most destruction. You don't want to hit right in the city because then the blast will go out over the lake and you'll lose a percentage of that. So that would make sense that this Nike missile site was that close to where the Ground Zero would be. Maybe. It's all
okay.
Hypothesizing here.
Mm-hmm.
But it was for a fact. It was like a Nike missile site there. Yeah, and we were just drinking. Some idiot would do donuts on the baseball diamond sometimes.
Oh, man.
But yeah, so I think, yeah, if you got 6,000 missiles,
mm-hmm.
They know where those are supposed to go. Yeah. We talked about it before. They got the, what was it, the dead hand switch, or what was it called in Russia?
Oh, the mutually assured destruction?
Yeah, and it was like the idea that if it detected incoming missiles,
mm-hmm.
and then nobody turned off this switch, meaning it was a false alarm, that it would automatically shoot nukes back. Because yeah. The dead man switch, it's like it's assuming that Russia had already been hit. Like the people who would turn off the switch are already dead.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, and I don't put it past. I think Putin's kind of a, I don't know, maybe I'm just buying all that propaganda.
Yeah.
But he seems like a fucking lunatic. Like, you poison your political enemies.
Yeah.
Probably not willing to play fair in any other arena. But again, I don't know. I'm not a political guy. I don't know the whole story.
Reading an article here on Yahoo News. Russia's nuclear arsenal is capable of striking just about anywhere on the planet. If a single weapon was launched at the U.S., residents would have roughly 30 minutes or less to find shelter, assuming they were immediately warned of the attack. That's scary.
What are you going to do with 30 minutes?
Hopefully find a bunker, find a basement. I mean, 30 minutes seems like you'd be lucky to have
that much notice. A basement? You're going to find a basement?
Yeah, find a basement.
To do what?
Take shelter.
Die. It's not a thunderstorm, Dave. It's a nuclear attack. It's not a tornado. Get the cat. Green sky at night. No, you don't. You cue up your favorite Seinfeld. Try and flash fry a steak real quick and enjoy yourself.
If Russia launched a weapon from international waters just outside of New York or East Coast cities like Boston, D.C., what have you, those residents in those cities might have just 10 to 15 minutes to prepare. Now, see, that seems, if they're in international waters right outside, it seems like 10 or 15 minutes would be too much. It seems like that would get you in just a matter of seconds. But the minutes to hours after a nuclear blast are a critical window. The potential for radiation exposure decreases 55% an hour after an explosion and 80% after 24 hours. So reading this article, first 30 minutes, first thing you should do is avert your eyes and shield your face because the blast could definitely blind you if you were looking, you know, if you were to make eye contact with this blast. What does it say here?
What are you going to, like, okay, true post-apocalyptic landscape.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Then what are you doing?
What do you mean?
I mean, I just read Cormac McCarthy's The Road.
Mm-hmm.
And it's basically this scenario.
Yeah.
And the only thing, like, this guy just had a kid, so that's why he kept trying to live another day.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have kids. I'm going to sit there running around eating fucking raw pigeon and drinking radioactive puddle water. The fuck out of here.
Well, I mean, what are you saying?
It's time to go bungee jumping and forget to hook the rope.
Cyanide pill?
I don't know. Do something cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When a nuclear bomb strikes, it sets off a flash of light and a giant orange fireball. A 1 megaton bomb, which is, by the way, 80 times larger than Little Boy, the atomic bomb we dropped on Hiroshima in Japan. I think we had Little Boy and Fat Man. So Little Boy was a smaller one. Mm-hmm. A 1 megaton bomb is 80 times larger than the one we dropped on Hiroshima. It could temporarily blind you from up to 15 miles away on a clear day, 50 miles on a clear night. Imagine getting blinded by an explosion that happened 50 miles away. That's crazy.
Yeah, I We've clearly shown that we can't get along during a pandemic as a society. Mm-hmm. I hate being this way, Dave.
Yeah.
But I'm trying to do it for comedic purposes, and also, truly, mm-hmm. I don't have hope for society getting along. Although, maybe the destruction of the internet is exactly the reset we need. I know there's... Side note, sorry, Dave. The Great Reset mm-hmm. is a big one that's coming up with a lot of people about how it's an economic reset about how the government... the rich will be everybody's landlord. Anyway, but the reset of like, oh, no, the internet's down. Oh, no, we just have to talk to our neighbors and figure out how to get along to fix this road to leave our neighborhood or something like that. Maybe it's great.
Maybe yeah, it's a great it could thing. Be. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's definitely been said before, but I think we're all turning into zombies. I saw mm-hmm. it. I see it every fucking day. You know what my pet peeve is? Well, I got a lot of them.
I mean, you got a few of them. But
you're in a city. You're on foot. You're a pedestrian, right?
Yeah.
You're waiting for the right of way to cross the crosswalk. Okay, I got the little white silhouette of a man telling me I can walk now. And I'm just going to shuffle my feet while staring at my fucking phone. Yes, you have the right of way, but drunks and people who pass out behind the wheel, they don't respond to red lights. They're going to mow right through the fucking intersection and run right over you because you're fucking crossing a busy street with your head buried in your damn phone. I know that makes me sound like a cranky old man, but little self-awareness. I've seen people doing it
reading a book, though.
Situational awareness. Like, even driving, when you've got a green light, man, look, even though you're proceeding forward, I still look both ways.
L.A. will teach you to be that way.
Bit. Yeah.
L.A. teaches you never trust a light.
A red light is not a force field.
No. You wait. Your light turns green, you still wait. You still wait and look mm-hmm. both ways in L.A. I've learned that lesson.
But yeah, and also, even if you're not looking at your phone, put a little hustle on it when you're crossing a crosswalk. These people just shuffling around. Come on, pick them up, put them down. Let's get out of here.
You're back. You're back in the city, so you gotta.
Yeah,
gotta get that patience back, man.
Yeah. I'm rusty on the patience, so I gotta adapt to that. But anyway, going back to how we're gonna survive.
How we're gonna survive
this bullshit. Dave. First 45 minutes, seek shelter indoors away from windows. Basically, you got to treat it like a tornado drill.
Okay.
You want to, if you can get to a basement, get to a basement. If you can't, if you don't have a basement, just get far away from windows as you possibly can. It says here, a single nuclear weapon could result in tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands, of immediate deaths in a major city like New York or L.A. The number of casualties depends on the size of the weapon, where it is detonated, and how many people are upwind of the blast. Now, here's the other thing. All right, so if you were to survive the initial blast, then you got to worry about the fucking nuclear fallout.
That's what I'm saying.
All this shit falling from the sky like dirty snow.
Yeah.
You're going to get radiation poisoning. There's several ways this fucker can get you, Kyle.
I've already detailed my plan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What is your plan? What would you do? We get a emergency alert system that's saying Russia has detonated a nuclear warhead headed towards Beaverton, Oregon. You got 27 minutes before it impacts. What are you doing?
That's 27 minutes to get a few drinks in and sit on the roof and watch the fireworks. Not even joking.
I don't hate that idea.
Where are you going to go? Where are you going to go that, oh, good, I survived the initial blast. Now the next however many hours to days to maybe months that I'll live with just a aggressive cancer and radiation destroying my body. No, I'll exit on my terms if that's the case.
Mm-hmm. Hmm.
I mean, not to sound super morbid about it, but I don't do it as much anymore, but whenever I like would take off in an airplane, I would always ask myself like, hey, did you do all the stuff that you wanted to do or at least tried? Mm-hmm. Are there situations that you wish you could change or people that like things you can correct as like a like a moral checklist or like a spiritual checklist of like that. Now you're on a plane. This could just crash and shit happens.
Yeah.
But that's also like I try to have like a daily mantra of like, I get pissed at wasted days. Saturday, we're hung over from that show. We went out Friday night and had fun. Mm-hmm. And I was pissed at like, oh, the whole day was wasted with a hangover. Okay. That's taxes for Friday night. And then we still got out. We still went for a walk and checked out a new restaurant. So it was still like, okay, we still had a nice time. But I try to do that. Like, okay, do I have any regrets? Do I wish I could have done more of this? Like, it's like a little spiritual check-in often, mm-hmm. but the threat of death motivates it more. It's like in an airplane of like, ooh, you know what? I really am regretting not doing this thing. And now you're on a plane thinking about how easy it is. So like, I should take care of that.
Yeah.
And so by doing that on a regular basis, I might be totally full of shit, Dave, but I think I'm pretty in tune with who I am. So if a nuclear bomb was going to hit Beaverton and I had a half hour, mm-hmm. I'd be like, all right, that sucks. You know, I don't know if I'd want to like waste it having sad phone calls with people and a frantic effort to make calls when I'm like, no, I just sit with yourself with the loved ones you have close by and like, all right, hell of a ride.
Yeah.
You know, I legit think that's, who knows though, in the moment of panic, I could be full of shit with what I'm saying right now. But I feel like I would want to be like, I have a half hour to be grateful for what has happened up to this point. All right. Some people don't get that much time to sit and mm-hmm. think about their time on Earth. So.
Yeah, I think about that a lot. I don't know. I've talked about it a little bit, but maybe since, I don't know if it's being in my 40s or maybe since my dad died, but just, you know, the natural instinct to always question your own mortality. But like, especially mm-hmm. now, like people, 44-year-olds drop dead every day of heart attacks, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, hopefully not every day, but I'm saying, you know, there's people younger and healthier than me have died of heart attacks and, or, you know, just things that can, medical issues that could just kill you, you know, in a split second.
Man, people's heart things attacks, that they never detected like in the first place. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I've always, I'm definitely going through some sort of, I don't know if it's a midlife crisis or existential crisis, but just in terms of trying to appreciate the moment more, appreciate each day.
Yeah.
You know, time, you know, it's cliche, but, you know, time's our most precious resource. Like, you know, as every second passes, you know, your life gets shorter, and that's depressing if you think about it too much. But no, just, you know, in general, just trying. When you're young, you just think you're going to live forever. I remember being 20 thinking 44 had to, you know, mm-hmm. I could do math, but in my mind, like, that's 75 years away, you know? I got so much time before I get middle age, and it fucking flies by.
Well, and maybe that's the impetus for so many midlife crises or what have you, is like, mm-hmm. I did live longer than I thought, and I did not take care of myself. So now I better start doing that now so that when I'm mm-hmm. 20 years from now, when I'm 65, I don't feel like shit. Because mm-hmm. that maintenance starts now.
Yeah.
So absolutely. That kind of, I have that all the time, even with the stupid stuff like bikes. Like, I don't have a lot of time to be able to do this kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm better have fun with it while I can, and I'll know my limits, but have fun with it. I follow a guy who rides. He just does like little BMX tricks, but I think he's like 62 or something. Just an old Japanese guy.
Huh.
Just doing little curb endos and 360s and stuff.
Good for him.
Yeah. And it's like, oh, that's, he's not doing anything extreme, but it's on a, it's, you know, if somebody was out in a batting cage at that age, it wouldn't be so weird. So why does it look as mm-hmm. as childish? But again, that's me projecting, but yeah,
how's that different than golfing at that age? You know,
having that check. Yeah, I might get into golf. You want to get into golf, Dave? Mm-hmm.
Might as well, dude. I've always resisted it, but now that I'm older, I like the idea of just taking it easy. You know, maybe I don't use the cart get some exercise.
There you go. See, that's the attitude. Yeah, you do a burpee. You do a burpee landscape. Every couple holes.
Sure. It could be fun.
Yeah.
But I don't think I've ever played golf. I think I played once in high school. I've been to the driving range many a time. But
driving range, great. You don't need any restraint at a driving range.
Yeah.
It's sheer power. It's all force.
Mm-hmm.
Brutality. That's what the driving range is for. Anyway. Yeah, that's my perspective on a nuclear war. I'm like, I think I took a good swing at life. Let me watch this show.
Reading this article from the nationalpost.com, I think that's a Canadian website. They're talking about nuclear bombs aren't as deadly as you think. There's a popular misconception that if nuclear war breaks out, we're all toast. The atomic war is essentially like the rapture. 1 minute, we're all alive. Then, boom, everyone's dead. He's talking about in Hiroshima, after it was struck by the atom bomb, the area just 1,000 meters from the blast. So take a 1,000-meter radius from where that bomb dropped in Hiroshima. Mm. The death rate was 93%, which is a lot, but it's not 100%. So 7%, somehow 7% of the population that was just in that 1,000-meter radius, they somehow survived.
For how long?
Well, yeah, that I don't know. But they survived the initial blast.
Yeah,
means there were hundreds of people who were only a few blocks away from the nuclear blast who ended up surviving. They were in basements. They were in thick concrete buildings. One victim, whose name I can't pronounce, he survived the blast. He was in a mansion lined with bookshelves that helped absorb the blast. Okay. Yeah. So bookshelves.
The rich win again.
Yep. Here's what immediately
one way
kills you.
One way to survive a nuclear blast, be in a mansion.
If you'd imagine, like with books.
All right, we'll see how that goes.
They continue. They say, here's what immediately kills you in an atomic bombing. The initial flash from the bomb burns or vaporizes you. Then comes a shockwave that smashes down your house or pulverizes you with debris. But if you're far enough away from the atomic blast, neither of those things are necessarily going to kill you. They did some testing back in Nevada back in the 50s. They did this test. It shows I think this is the video, that kind of stock footage of the house that vaporizes basically. But during those tests, they also show a concrete house that was only about a mile and a half from the bomb site. And despite being that close, and this test was from a bomb that was twice as powerful as a Hiroshima bomb, my point is that house survived. It withstood the blast only a mile and a half away. So, yeah, I mean, that answers, you know, my paranoia of, like, I just assumed that, like they said, it was the rapture, like just a blink of an eye, everybody's dead. But that's not necessarily the case.
What are you going to do? So you're in Los Angeles, a major city, would probably be a target.
Yeah.
You got a half hour.
Yeah, do I try to flee or do I go your route and just party?
We've already talked for 2.5 hours.
That's true.
What do we do? Record a quick episode?
No. I think rooftop,
one last transmission.
Rooftop and some drinks, maybe a handful of mushrooms.
I mean, it's half hour. Those aren't going to kill. They're just going to give you the shits.
Yeah, that's true. Those take at least, hour and a half to kick in.
What are you making with a half hour left? What food?
Oh, what food?
Yeah.
Oh, man. My last meal with a half hour's notice? Yeah. I'll probably make a big sloppy cheeseburger. You can make that pretty quick.
Yeah. You think you'd have the wherewithal to get in there? I'd just microwave a hot dog, probably.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, believe it or not, as much as I enjoy food, I probably, that's probably not top of my list.
Not a priority, yeah.
With a half hour, yeah. Well, who knows? If I was close to Moose Craft, I might have to swing by, get a burger.
Hey, it's weird that you guys are open right now. Glad you guys didn't watch the news. Okay, can you hook me up real quick?
I feel like trying to flee would be... useless.
You know, think about how far you're going to get in a half hour just right now, Monday afternoon.
Yeah.
From West Hollywood.
Not very far. Not very far. Now, if I had access to a motorcycle or even a Lime scooter.
I don't know how far you'd get in Lime, but motorcycles probably one of the best ways to get out.
Yep. Ooh, man. A doomsday motorcycle. Might have to get one just to keep it around.
Probably one of the best ways to get out of a city.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you got a helicopter, unless you're like Bill Burr and have a helicopter.
Oh, yeah. Now, there you go. That'd be nice. Yeah, I don't know what I'm doing, man. If it's guaranteed to strike in 30 minutes, yeah, I'm probably going your route. I'm probably setting up a camping chair on the roof of the building.
Right.
Light a joint. Take it in.
I wish I could relax with weed that way.
Oh, yeah.
Because then I would just get stoned, and then it would ruin. Like, I would have no chill whatsoever.
Yeah, you just got to find the right type.
I've tried all of them.
Yeah.
It's weed. It's just weed. It's not the right type. It's the right amount. And I always do too much. I'm always like, well, this one felt good. Let me have one more. And then it's like, well, I'm fucked.
That's how they get you.
That's how they get you. That is how they get you.
Everybody knows that. Real quick, I got a survival kit if you want to. We've talked in the past about bug out bags. But if you want to make you a little survivor kit for a nuclear attack, rather.
It's a gun and it's one bullet.
Yeah, water filters, canned goods, ready-to-eat foods like granola and protein bars, medical kits, peanut butter, that's a good one, multivitamins, iodine solution, some hydrogen peroxide, painkillers, maybe a bag of rice or bag of beans.
Old bag of beans.
A manual can opener. Can opener always comes in handy. Kitchen matches or... disposable lighters. Got to have some lighters. Flashlights, ideally LED. Those last longer. Portable radios, batteries, bottle water. A lot of this is obvious. Baby wipes, way you can stay fresh. A fire extinguisher. I don't know who's got room and the wherewithal to carry a fire extinguisher with them.
Yeah.
And a bug out bag. Paper, plastic cups and utensils. And then lastly, a cheap plastic hooded rain poncho. So I think I have most of that stuff in my bug out bag already. I was going through my bug out bag the other day, moving and rearranging a bunch of stuff, and I got it nice and handy in my closet. Got a special hook for my bug out bag. I don't even got to go digging for it. It's right there. I'm ready to roll.
Yeah, that's the whole thing. People have bug out bags. Do they have the ability to bug out? Do they have the physical fitness to bug out? Do they have the vehicle to bug out? Like, what good is your bug out bag if you're going to make it two blocks and the guy that just has a shotgun and nothing to lose sees you with your bug out bag?
Yeah, that's true.
That's like, I would watch these doomsday prepper shows. Like, I'm ready. No, you're not. You're 350 pounds. You want to sit in your garage and eat ravioli. That's what you can do that. That's not surviving.
You can bug in.
Yeah, you're bugging in, buddy. You're not bugging out anywhere. You're a stay-at-home bugger.
Hunker down.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. Well, I know this is not a very uplifting episode, but
We might have saved some lives.
I mean... who knows what's going to happen with all this bullshit, you know? So it's scary to think about.
But. Do you like that the president was the president of Ukraine was a comedian who portrayed the president on a TV
what's that
show?
Now?
The president of Ukraine was a comedian and actor who portrayed the president in a TV show in Ukraine before this.
Really?
Yeah.
That's bizarre.
And he is staying to fight Russia.
Yeah, I I know who you're talking about.
So no comedian gets to be called brave anymore unless it's him.
Yeah. I had no idea. What are the odds of that happening? Good for him. Yeah, he seems like an interesting dude.
Yeah. But again, are we just seeing the feel-good stories about that guy because this is going down? Again, can't just look at the first thing that comes up in your feed and be like, that's what's right.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure that those are facts that he was a comedian, but people are rooting for him. Seems like a good guy. Seems like a good guy, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't. That's frightening to think that Putin has made death threats against him and his family. Like, yeah, you see what they've done to their own people, to people in their own government. What are they going to do to the enemy?
Yeah, he poisons his opposition on the reg. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I think we're getting out of our depths on this one.
Yeah, probably.
If I'm being honest.
Probably. Yeah, I don't know, man. Just fingers crossed that we don't get those alerts that a nuke is inbound. We'll see.
I'm getting my ladder ready for climbing up on the roof.
Get me a submarine.
Get a boat. You need a boat. That's the ultimate bug out.
Yeah.
Fish.
Yeah.
Figure out how to desalinate water.
Mm-hmm. Fucking bass boat. I'll be fine. Where you at this weekend, buddy? Where can people see you?
Oh, I am in beautiful Wenatchee, Washington. I don't know if it's beautiful. I think it is. Yeah, man, I'm going to be in Wenatchee, Washington. I'm going to be in Missoula, Montana, Bozeman, Montana. And then next weekend, I'm opening for Jawbreaker in Seattle and Portland.
Hell yeah, man.
I'm all over Missoula's the north. I'm all over the Northwest. Yeah, I hope it looks like it's a little chilly these days. I was going to bring the van with the bike. It's a little cold, man. Let's check those temps. Hey, let's go to the weather. You know what we haven't done is go to the weather.
We don't check traffic and weather.
We haven't been going to the weather on this show often.
Uh-huh.
Yep, looks like it's going to be pretty shitty in Missoula when I'm there.
How cold is it right now?
14th.
Oh,
the 14th is when I'm going to be there. What day is that? Monday. 47, high of 47, low of 35.
Huh. That's not too bad.
No, that's not bad. That's a van doable. I don't know mm-hmm. where I'll go to explore Bozeman weather. Let's see. Let's go to the weather. Let's go to Kyle with the weather. All right, sure. No problem, guys. Here I am. I'm Kyle. I'm Kyle with the weather. Oh, Bozeman, yikes, baby. We're at 16 degrees right now in Bozeman.
Damn.
But next Wednesday, 43-25. We'll see. We'll see. That doesn't look like I'm going to be doing a lot of outdoor stuff there.
No.
Unfortch. What about you, Dave? 72
degrees where I'm at right now.
Of course it is. You're in beautiful Los Angeles. Of course it's 72
Not
degrees.
Bad. Couldn't
be better for you.
In April, you can find me in Indianapolis, Milwaukee, Chicago, working on Pittsburgh, working on Cleveland and Columbus. Cincinnati has been confirmed. But yeah, I'll have some, if not all, these dates up on the website soon at dumbdavestone.com. But yeah, I'll be around the Midwest in April. So come holler at your boy.
Well, this is a real downer, man.
Yeah, sorry about that, but, you know. That's why I don't do topical shit. Get back into the ghouls and goblins next week.
We'll get there. We're going to find it. We're going to find it again one day. Well, I hope you don't have to evacuate to the roof of your newly decorated apartment, Dave.
Yeah, hopefully not.
Just to watch a blast wash over the city.
Oh, boy. Well, have fun out there, man. So you're taking the van out this next run.
That's the plan. That's the plan.
Okay.
Well, we'll see.
Keep between the ditches.
Try our best. Try our best not to get snowed in up there.
All right, buddy. Will you be good, and we'll holler at you next week.
You betcha.
The Boogie Monster.
Podcast Network.